Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Founders Create, sponsored by Caper.io. Today we have Sean. Sean is the director at Wind Ventures. Sean, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Thanks very much for having me.
So a brief background about yourself, what you've been doing prior to joining Wind Ventures.
Yeah, I'd love to share that. So prior to Wind Ventures, I was at GM Ventures, which is General Motors venture capital arm. Spent a lot of time looking at automotive related technologies, mobility, batteries, et cetera. Prior to that, I was a startup founder myself for about 4 years. Ultimately, built a product, got some traction, but, ultimately failed. Before that, my sort of schooling and early experience was in engineering, mechanical engineering for both automotive and military defense companies.
So, okay. For the GM Ventures, can you elaborate more on the role, what you were doing, so that the readers can get a background, listeners can get a background about what you've been up to? So what kind of deals you look used to? Was it like kind of like industry centric, industry focused, agnostic? How is it?
Yeah. So GM Ventures, basically invests all across sort of the automotive sphere, as I would say, and that sort of automotive sphere has continued to increase. And so it extends to, obvious things like parts that actually go on vehicles, lightweight materials, things like that, but also extends to, high power compute, semiconductor technologies, different sort of service, based offerings, whether that's, for example, we invested in a company that does automatic refueling of your vehicle. We've looked at connected vehicle, type applications, in-car experience, as you sort of do less actual driving in the vehicle, what are the things you're going to do, and sort of the different entertainment and other product offerings that can, be a part of that experience. Yeah, anything sort of in and around electric vehicles and autonomous vehicles. So whether it's the, actual, systems or components that sort of, work together to actually make that possible. So it's kind of a wide range. Myself, I actually did deals, ranging from supply chain logistics to, sort of a fuel economy efficiency to even a, media fraud sort of detection. So GM, a company that large, think of an automotive company, but they're also their own bank. They're also one of the largest advertisers. And so there's a lot of opportunity to kind of find ways that startups are leading the way in innovation, work with sort of internal teams to kind of build cases, and then ultimately, invest. And, I would say we invested in companies where we thought GM could add value, could be a significant and important customer, but that they weren't necessary. Like if GM ultimately decided to do something different, the companies themselves were strong enough that they would be successful anyway. And in that case, we would behave more like a financial investor and continue to support the company, etc. So kind of we want to have a connection to GM going into it, but then ultimately, we would behave like more like a financial in the case that they pivoted, away from automotive, let's say.
Interesting. So now keeping the conversation much more relevant towards today's times, right? So March, April, there were articles actually coming on that, startups are going to lose the funding, the valuations are going to take a slice, the funding is going to dry down, or if you're not into telehealth, there's no point in doing the startup during COVID. Fast forward, November, we're almost into December now. Thought process thinking has evolved a lot. So what do you think, what were you thinking in March, and how has your thought process evolved over the course of time?
Yeah, I think actually, I was still at GM Ventures till about April, and actually had a deal sort of fall apart because of COVID. I think maybe it's natural sort of human reaction to overreact to sort of changes, right? And so I think folks kind of pulled back a lot and, really kind of reassess things. And, maybe in the short term, there were, valuations maybe came down and that there was just more scrutiny and, it just, sort of conversations between, partners, LPs, corporates and their, folks, and things kind of slowed down maybe a little bit. But I think once folks get used to that and then understand that there's still a lot of opportunity out there that, they could actually be, take advantage sort of that as of the situation, in that if a lot of people are stopping investing, that means there's a lot of good deals out there that you can invest in. And so sort of being bold, being real willing to take risk and knowing that, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. I think, folks really kind of were able to take advantage of that and actually help the startups that were sort of struggling along the way. And then, some firms, if you had a big portfolio and you had companies that were struggling and couldn't raise, like you kind of had to dig deeper, do bridge rounds, things like that. But I think it's, over time, it's your perspective was, we're going to find a way out of this, that there is light at the end of the tunnel, and that things then will start getting back towards normal even before like our lives sort of get back toward, towards normal. And so I think overall, maybe there was a little bit of lull in the action, but I think there were still a lot of, great deals getting done during COVID. And I think there'll be, great deals sort of, coming out of it. And, COVID's an opportunity also for new types of startups. I mean, remote working, looking at ways to actually disinfect, more conveniently, and these types of things are all going, are new sort of business opportunities that VCs have started to invest in as well.
Yeah, true. So which brings me, any three pieces of advice as an investor you would be giving out to startup companies that actually started during COVID or just before COVID and are just being kind of like thrown into this pool of whirlwinds? So what advice would we give to those individuals?
I would say, just having had a startup myself too, that I think it's always better to put yourself in a position of strength and sort of have a story to tell. And so I think oftentimes, startups try to talk to VCs maybe too early and, get put in certain directions where, if they need to figure a lot of things themselves and then come with a strong story to the sort of VC community. It can be beneficial for sure to start those, and sort of connections early and get, advice and work. But you also, the most important thing I think I see in entrepreneurs is that they truly understand their business and they understand the process of how to figure out what they don't know. Like, you don't want someone sort of coming to you and then they've just missed, blatantly something that, could affect their business. There's going to be those things out there, but, sort of having that track record, that sort of experience and actually kind of being boots on the ground doing this, I think is invaluable. And so I think really understanding your market, your challenges, and then how to, attack new challenges, because there certainly will be ones. That's, I would say, number one. Number two, I think maybe there's, too much, sort of put into trying to make sort of an impressive, story for VCs and kind of tailoring to them. I think building a strong business, is something you do sort of that's the goal, and that VCs then are attracted to that versus building a VC attractive business. That there's nuances there where, I think it's, you're better served to always sort of focus on the business, focus on what's right for you, sort of before kind of coming to the VCs and really being sort of in that position of strength, I would say. Third piece of advice, I would say it's probably even more relevant with COVID, is like raise money when you can. There's a lot of times entrepreneurs, they're, trying to optimize for valuation and other things. And I think when you find the right investment partner, like even if it's at a lower valuation than the best term sheet, like there's a lot more, like you're essentially getting married to these folks and you're becoming a team with them. And so like pick team members that you want to work with that are, going to act like team members and really support the company, and don't try to optimize for, terms here and there, because at the end of the day, I mean, VCs have, different sort of constraints and, sort of guidelines that they're going by. And so they might not be able to give you that, top tier valuation that, you think the comps that you've done, sort of suggest. But if they're good to work with, they're transparent, they're going to be there for you when times are tough, like that, you can't put a price on that. And so I think just finding the VCs that you want to work with and then raising, while you can, and not trying to, raise a little here and get to this next milestone and then raise at a lot higher valuation. Like that stuff ends up working itself out in the end. But, you know, why be miserable with sort of, you know, VCs that don't believe in you and sort of, you know, aren't going to be there when times are tough? Like, that's, it's not worth it.
Sean, thank you so much for being on the show. I'm pretty sure we could have talked for another 15 to 20 minutes, but this one, this marketing team kind of like forces me to keep them within 12 minutes, but we're excited and we would like to officially invite you to our conference and have you as a panel speaker. But thank you so much for
being on the show. Yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Hopefully it wasn't too terrible.